Welcome to this ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. ICMA is the premier local government leadership and management organization. The ICMA Sustainable Communities Initiative strengthens local government's capacity to meet their sustainability goals. For more information, visit icma.org.
Hi, I'm Anna Reed with ICMA Center for Sustainable Communities, and today we're talking with Andrea Lukey, the Executive Director of the Solar Foundation. Thank you for joining us today, Andrea.
You're welcome, Anna. Good to be here. Thanks.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about the Solar Foundation and what it does?
Sure. The Solar Foundation is a national 501c3 nonprofit that's focused on promoting solar energy through research and education. We are the charitable research arm of SEIA, the Solar Energy Industries Association, and we're based in D.C. And in addition to some of the labor market research that we have done over the past several years, we are a partner on the Solar America Communities Program, and we are an implementing partner providing technical expertise to IREC and through their Department of Energy Solar Instructor Training Network program.
So one of the things you mentioned was your labor market research and the solar job census, I think is what you're talking about there. Can you tell us more about the National Solar Jobs Census and what motivated the Solar Foundation to conduct that?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was referring to when I said solar labor market research. Our national solar job census series essentially quantifies solar jobs across the entire value chain. And in early summer 2010, we partnered with Green LMI, which is now a division of BW Partnership, and Cornell University to initiate the first National Solar Jobs Census. And this study had never been done before. And as I mentioned, it quantifies solar jobs across the entire value chain. And we released it at Solar Power International in Los Angeles last year, last October 2010. And there's a couple reasons, well, two major reasons, I should say, why we decided to conduct the study. First and foremost, we knew that as solar deployment, as the number of installations grows, so does the number of Americans employed by solar. In 2010, the installations grew at a rate of 67%, which essentially means that they doubled in 1 year. And so we're looking at that thinking, wow, you know, there has to be some kind of correlation in terms of the number of installations and the number of jobs. But we had no hard numbers to prove that. The Bureau of Labor Statistics does not yet track solar jobs, and analysts in the past have been using what we consider to be imprecise jobs per dollar or jobs per megawatt assumptions, which we think have been successful at fueling the green jobs myth. And then the second reason, of course, is that job creation is a huge policy driver for policymakers, especially in this economy, this very down economy. Our ability to successfully advocate for clean energy, something that the majority of us want, is almost exclusively dependent on job creation potential. A couple years ago, people and policy was driven by concern for the environment. People wanted to put a price on carbon. People wanted to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. That was a priority. But now, considering that the economy still has not yet recovered and we have 15 million Americans still out of work and millions upon millions more that are underemployed and or discouraged, and then, of course, you've got states facing budget cuts. It's right now it's all about the economy and all about jobs. And so we knew that we had to make the jobs case for solar if we wanted our policy initiatives to be heard.
And so with that said, what with the solar job census now in its second year, what can you tell us about the solar jobs picture and growth in the solar jobs sector?
Well, our study ultimately proves that the industry is a big jobs creator at a time when many other industries are cutting jobs. Before we released the second census, before the census 2011, we didn't know how the solar industry compared against other industries. We knew that all industries were subjected to the same down economy, but we didn't know how the solar industry compared. And even though the industry is still relatively small, it contains more jobs than the steel industry, more jobs than coal mining, and is growing at a rate that's much faster than the overall economy and some of our competing energy sectors, traditional energy sectors. So what's in it? What's in the report? Well, in addition to fine-tuning last year's national baseline numbers and making some methodological improvements over Census 2010, our Census 2011 includes, for the first time, year-over-year growth. It includes credible state baseline numbers, value chain breakdowns for the top five states, a deeper understanding as to the difficulties that employers are facing. We keep hearing that employers are facing difficulties, but why? And so we look at that in more detail this year. We provide recommendations for policymakers, employers, and workforce training providers. And then, of course, we include some company profiles that highlight or showcase some of the successes in the industry. And although we include just a handful of company profiles, I just want to say that there are many other successes and, you know, hundreds of success stories out there, not just the ones that we highlighted or showcased in our report. And then in terms of overall takeaway, our census found that as of August 2011, there are over 100,000 solar jobs in the U.S. This number is up from 93,000 last year, from last year, 2010. And this job growth represents a 6.8% increase in the workforce, which may not sound like a lot, 6.8%, but if you compare that against the overall economy, the solar industry grew nearly 10 times faster than the overall economy and many times faster than the fossil fuel electric generation subsector, which cut jobs by 2% during that same period. Another thing that our census tells us about the workforce is that we are expecting increases next year as well. Nearly half of all employers expect to increase their workforce over the next 12 months. And that would represent nearly 24,000 net new solar jobs.
Those are really great trends. And in the report, you break the solar workforce down into a couple different segments. Can you talk a little bit about which segments of the solar workforce are the largest and which are seeing the most growth?
Sure. Well, first, I just want to say we found that there are solar jobs across the entire value chain, and that there's growth across the entire value chain, and that all 31 occupations that we identified are experiencing growth. So there are no losing segments. But sales and distribution, which is a part of the value chain that I think is often overlooked, actually grew the fastest, creating about 6,000 jobs last year, and is expected to grow the fastest next year at a tremendous 35% clip. And so, you know, even though this aspect of the value chain is often overlooked and they're seen as middlemen, quote unquote, they do play an integral role in the industry, very often providing training and business development support to installers on products that they receive from their manufacturing vendors. So a very important aspect of the value chain, and probably your best bet if you're looking for a job is to get into the sales and distribution subsector. Installation companies, we found, are the majority. They make up over half of all the firms, all the companies that we surveyed, and over half of all the jobs. So that's installation is the majority. They're also on the rise, but they're not rising or growing as fast as sales and distribution. Last year, it grew by 5.6%, and it expects to grow by 22% next year, adding another 13,000 solar workers to the installation subsector mix. And another thing that we found, we don't just look at numbers. There's quantitative, there's qualitative information. It's a report that contains quite a bit. And what we found, and something interesting that we found about the installation subsector, is that it's really starting to diversify. Firms are starting to provide energy consulting services in addition to solar, and most of these installer firms are working with PV, photovoltaic, solar electric systems that are quite small, less than 5 kilowatts. And then last, there's manufacturing. Everybody's talking about manufacturing and whether the U.S. can compete with low-cost modules from China. It's in the news. You'd have to be living under a rock not to notice that. But in terms of employment, manufacturing is still very strong. Although manufacturing firms only make up a small fraction of the overall number of solar employers, just 14% of all solar companies are in manufacturing. Right now, there's over 24,000 solar workers at manufacturing sites. And over the last 12 months, they increased their workforce by nearly 25%. So despite Solyndra and all the other layoffs, Evergreen, that you've heard about, in general, solar manufacturing increased their workforce. And if you contrast that with overall national manufacturing numbers, which created, you know, national manufacturers created jobs at only 1%. I mean, this is huge in comparison, 25% for solar and 1% for the overall national manufacturing average. And manufacturing expects to grow next year as well. They hope to add about 3,400 new jobs over the next 12 months.
And you talked about some of the top growth states for solar jobs. Where would those be?
Well, the number one state for solar jobs is California. They have 25,000 solar jobs, which is about 25%, because we're looking at a 100,000 worker pie. And that's no surprise. They've been doing it for decades. There's a lot of interest and investment in solar and renewable energy in California. The runner-up state is Colorado, and Colorado has the most solar jobs per capita of any other state. And then the number third state is Arizona, followed by Pennsylvania and New York.
And then you alluded to some of the challenges that employers mentioned that they're facing. Could you talk a little bit more about those?
Yeah. Last year and this year, we found that, you know, employers are facing a skills gap, that they're having difficulty finding qualified workers. They continue to claim that they receive an oversupply of applications, but that the applicants, the people, the prospects aren't meeting their standards. And I think that due to the very high-paced nature of the solar industry, part of the reason why these applicants aren't meeting their standards is because they require some on-the-job training, but employers are hesitant to provide on-the-job training because it takes time, and also they don't maybe want to incur the liability of training new workers. So really they're insisting that workers are ready to hit the ground running, that they don't require on-the-job training. But how do you get the experience without having the job? And that's the big catch-22 that we've been talking about over the last several years, is that these are very specialized positions that require experience, but you can't get the experience without getting the job, and you can't get the job without getting the experience. So that's something that employers are reporting. And we also found that employers are not communicating as well as they should be with workforce training providers, that they're not helping to inform community colleges and other institutions about the types of skills that they require, that they're looking for. And so here you've got instructors training people for skills that are no longer relevant for the local market. And so there has to be better dialogue between employers and workforce training providers. And then finally, and I think this is extremely important, employers need policy stability. This is a huge challenge for all employers in this economy, but especially in the solar industry. Employers are extremely knowledgeable about how policies affect their bottom line and their ability to attract private investments and hire new workers. But without long or longer-term policies, there's just too much uncertainty for them, and they are hesitant to hire new workers. And so what happens is that they'll do more with less. They will put more pressure on their existing employees to work longer hours and work harder as opposed to hiring new people. And in this scenario, absolutely nobody wins. So having policy stability, having some policy certainty is incredibly important. And I think that's what's going to help drive the market over the next several years.
So on that kind of note with the policy stability, you do make some policy recommendations in the solar job census. Could you talk a little bit more about those and what is needed for continued solar market growth or solar jobs growth?
Well, we don't really make policy recommendations. We just recommend that policymakers pay attention to incentives and regulations and recognize that employers are watching them like hawks, because they need that policy certainty. They need a long-term string or series or sequence of policies in order to make these hiring investments. And we also recommend that policymakers really invest in incentives that help to spur local demand, because there is a correlation between local demand and local jobs. But yeah, overall, we're not saying that one specific policy needs to be enacted or passed or pursued, because we believe that it requires a successful, healthy, vibrant local retail solar market requires a series of or sequence of multiple policies in order to be effective. And all of them are important. The ITC, Solar Renewable Energy Credit, very important. Net metering standards, extremely important. Interconnection, a good relationship with your local utility. All of this is extremely important. And I think the industry needs all of it. And this isn't to say that the solar industry is dependent or can't survive without policy, without smart investments or subsidies or policy investments. The solar industry is no different than any other energy form, you know, oil, coal, gas, wind, bio, geo, solar. We are all dependent on energy investments from the public and private sectors. And I think a climate that is friendly and encourages investments will help to ensure the continued growth of the solar industry. Solar is an emerging industry. It is not yet at the point where it can compete against other fuel sources that have not only been subsidized for much, much longer, but receive many, many more times the subsidies than solar receives. So I think policy certainty, long-term sequence of policies is really key.
Great. And then just finally, what does this, from your perspective, solar job or workforce growth mean for local government?
Well, I think it's a huge opportunity for local government. Renewable energy is increasingly becoming part of the broader regional growth strategy. And there are a lot of different community benefits to going solar and supporting a retail local solar industry. For one, of course, as I said, it creates, you know, the solar industry creates jobs. It can help to mitigate land use issues. It can help strengthen energy infrastructure. Of course, it helps local governments to achieve their environmental goals, environmental and energy goals. There's a lot of different benefits, and I think for local governments, it represents a huge opportunity.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Anna. Thanks for having me.
This has been an ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. For more information about ICMA's Sustainable Communities Initiative, visit icma.org.